Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Chad Niddle.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. It's Bark with Arms to my left.
Good morning.
Ed Niddle escaped, and he is to my right.
Yes, I
am out. Escaped from New York.
Don't tell my wife I'm here.
And Lambert sits across from us with a mic very closely resembling a not-so-flaccid, long, tubular object.
It looks like a mic.
It does, but it looks...
Even if I hold it like this?
If you hold it like that, it definitely looks like a mic.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Don't get too close. Don't want your instincts to kick in.
Gotta be careful. So anyways, four-man back row fantasy show today. And on today's show, we're going to grade the rookies. We're going to grade them. We're going to tell you what we thought of their performance in the 2018 fantasy season, as opposed to where they were drafted, or maybe just in general. Nip might throw the CD at him, the competitive depth of rookies.
You have to have that competitive depth on your fantasy roster. And you can do that with these rookies we're talking about.
Absolutely. And we spent tons of time. I probably took 7 minutes to get this ready earlier.
I stumbled across the 2013 rookie draft season.
Saw that.
I almost threw up.
It was bad.
Geno Smith dominated
the interception everybody category.
Else. No, everything.
Yeah, he threw 21 picks as well. That's a thing that stood out to me. Like
far and away the best skill player.
Dude threw 21 picks, and Mike Glennon actually had a respectable rookie season. I think it was 19 touchdowns and 7 picks.
19 and 9. EJ Manuel with 11 and 9. And then just listen to this. It's a Hall of Fame list, really.
Oh, it's good.
It's Geno Smith.
Hall of Famer.
Stud. Mike Glennon.
Oh, no, everybody knows Glennon.
EJ Manuel.
EJ
Emanuel? I think it's just EJ Manuel.
EJ Manuel.
Yeah. Not Emanuel.
Not sure about that.
Matt McGloin.
Oh, McGloin.
Jeff Toole.
What a tool.
And Matt Barkley.
Ooh. He was terrible. He was 90%
sure everyone on that list except for Mike Glennon was a Raider.
Holy crap.
Or Jeff Toole. I don't think Jeff Toole was.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter what Jeff Toole was.
But I'm like, oh, God, this makes me even madder.
It's pretty sweet. And they just signed. Who'd they just sign?
Nate Peterman.
Yeah, Nate Peterman.
Nasty Nate Peterman.
I mean, this Oakland team, they're going to get it right, even if they have to go through every journeyman in the league.
They're going to get it right.
They're
going to fail.
They're not giving up on Derek Carr.
They're going to find their Rich Gannon. You just wait.
They're not giving up on Derek Carr. Not yet. And I think he's going to be all right.
Is the next Rich Gannon. But 5 years from now, we'll all be talking about Peterman.
No, we won't.
Only in a crap list like Arms just found.
Next Rich Gannon. Mark it down in the Bark Bank.
That is,
and by my record this season, I was last.
By the way, that was the worst draft class I have ever seen.
Those were just quarterbacks you named.
Yeah,
was a brutal. No one was successful.
Is that the same year Lima Swede was drafted as well? I mean, we could probably add.
It
to
may
this
be actually.
Horrific
I think that's
list.
The 2012 draft class, 2013 season.
Lima Swede, the most overrated wide receiver.
Yeah, I think wide receivers were bad in 2013 too.
Yeah,
like I'm pretty
Swede,
sure.
Swede was
Justin
like,
Blackman,
oh,
see in there.
Justin Blackman was a stud
in college.
Look at his NFL statistics. He was good. The problem with Justin Blackman is he couldn't stay off the weed.
Who can?
And then stealing.
It's tough.
It's hard.
Josh Gordon proved it's very difficult.
He did. So did Martavis. Nit, Bark. I mean, Arms. No, not really. No. We don't condone drug use on this show. But just saying. Everybody's going out of the
listen,
league.
Here's what I will say. They put themselves through a very rigorous torture throughout the season. And that is a more, from my understanding, I don't partake, but from my understanding, a more effective pain treatment and definitely less addictive than an Oxycontin or a Percocet or anything like that. Like, if the guy wants to, you know, take marijuana for actual health purposes, let him do it.
Yeah.
We don't.
That's the argument, though.
Yeah. I don't think any of them are making a valid argument for it, though.
No, they're just like, man, I just want to get high before the game. Halftime.
I just enjoy it.
I play better that way.
What's in store, man?
The grades, son.
The grades.
We grading rookies.
Before we go into that, can me and Chad maybe talk a little college football?
Have at it. You do that, and I'm going to look up some more of this 2013 rookie draft.
So the big news out today is the Fields kid from Georgia has committed to transferring to Ohio State.
Big news.
It's big news, especially in our area. Calling it here first, Tate Martell, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners.
He ain't going anywhere.
He's going to transfer. If Fields beats him out.
But if Fields has to get his Fields has to be able to play immediately, he still has to get that petition there, that exception from the NCAA.
He's going
to
win.
Real quickly, the Martell kid, is he the son of the Martell quarterback from The Replacements?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
That movie.
That was fake.
What? Yeah. Shane Falco. You're telling me he didn't really lead that team back to a good season?
What team?
I don't remember. They look like the Alouettes. The Generals.
Something like that.
Yeah. I digress. Go ahead.
But, I mean, that's what I'm thinking on it. And Chad, you got any input?
I don't know. I just don't think Justin Fields, neither of you're talking about two guys who only played snaps where they were going to run the football. They showed nothing about being a quarterback. So either of them can win it out. My thing, I don't think Justin Fields is going to win his NCAA waiver to play immediately. I know what he's arguing, and it is kind of a serious issue. But at the same time, you committed to Georgia. You don't get to that a year later. It's starting to happen more often on non-graduate transfers.
The Shea Patterson, the same attorney, he has that same attorney making the argument.
Yeah, but that same attorney was arguing against Ole Miss's bowl ban and recruiting. You know, that's a whole
different. But this supposedly becomes a racial slur thing. Somebody, you know, was making racial comments to him, and that's the reason he wants out.
Come on. If I'm a judge, I'm not buying that. I understand the severity of it, but
sensitive
the
issue,
reason
man.
You're the real reason you're moving on, Jake Fromm.
Jake Fromm's got one more year.
You got Fromm'd.
Can I add that Tyler Wilson was a fourth round pick of the Raiders in that quarterback draft class?
He did not register to statistic.
No.
Okay.
Continue.
Other big news coming up Monday. We've got the college football championship. Alabama, Clemson, whole lot of NFL talent on those teams.
Yeah, a couple years away, but dude, Tua is going to be real good. I know you're a big fan. And on the other side of the football,
that chick playing quarterback for Clemson's legit.
She's pretty good. She might bust 2021 draft class, breaking barriers.
I mean, I didn't even know that there was a female playing quarterback in NCAA.
Nor did I.
But Trevor Lawrence, I mean, very odd name for a woman, but she is awesome. She's a very talented quarterback. Unseated, what was it, Kelly Bryant, who was a successful quarterback for Clemson. So we're just playing. Obviously, we, you know, not to make fun of the gender issue or anything, but the long hair, he reminds me of Sunshine from Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans, yeah.
As soon as I see him, I'm like, Sunshine.
Spring Sunshine. Dude, it should be a good game. Looking forward to it. A lot of this talent that I'm wanting to see, the two quarterbacks and then Holyfield's son. Like, I know Georgia, wrong team. Talking about,
you were talking about Georgia.
ETN. Yeah, my bad.
What is that? ETN? Yeah.
Dude, he's lightning quick. I think he's underrated because of Trevor Lawrence. I think he's one of the premier running backs in the nation, especially one that's not talking about, that people aren't talking about as an NFL talent. Guy sees a hole, gets through it. He's beating the secondary easy. Future NFL starter in my book.
And from an entire core, the wide receiving core for Alabama, is probably the best total core they've had.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've had, you know, Calvin Ridley. They've had Julio Jones, but they never really had that stud complimentary player. Now they've got three or four guys that are just ballers.
Yeah, that's a scary team. And, dude, Tua is that good. Like, that wide receiving core doesn't make him. He didn't make the wide receiving core. There's just talent all over the offensive side of the football for Alabama.
The argument right now for Alabama against them, and it's a pretty, you know, paper-thin argument here. Their weak spot's running back, and they've got good running backs.
But they get three deep at running back. Like, they don't really have a weakness. They just got to be off. Clemson, to me, Clemson is the only other elite team in college football right now, but Alabama's even a notch ahead of that. I don't even know where you get that.
I hope it's a good game.
I'm calling Clemson.
I hope it's Clemson. Honestly, I do.
I hate that Dexter Lawrence is missing from the interior of Clemson's line. It didn't show up against Notre Dame because Notre Dame didn't put up much of a fight anyway, but that's a huge loss, just the centerpiece of your defense.
Notre Dame coach, do you guys recall the quote in the media where he was, you know, saying we don't belong here, watch us go win the whole damn thing. Or the whole effing thing, I think, was his actual words. Like, that's what he said. He's like, watch us go win the whole effing thing. Oops.
To me, honestly, if anything was proven, it's proven that Notre Dame needs to join a conference.
Yes.
I mean, I understand.
It's so hard.
Preseason strength of schedule. They get a ton of money, but they're going to start getting left out. They get in again next year and get embarrassed again. They're going to be looking at that, what Ohio State did a couple times.
Well, them and UCF proved that, you know.
Well, UCF,
they should be overlooked.
Well,
UCF was competitive.
UCF was competitive. If anything, Notre Dame proves that UCF should get in. Like,
UCF
what's
lost
worse?
To who, though?
Nah, they lost to
LSU.
Exactly.
LSU's a really solid team, though.
Third best team in the SEC.
LSU?
Yeah, LSU. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they double-digit beat Bama. Georgia? They beat Georgia by 20-something, didn't they?
Yeah, they put a pretty good hurting on Georgia. Two-score game. But, I mean, they're playing. They're a quality squad. UCF proved a lot.
Was undefeated again before that game, right?
Yeah.
Correct. They lost.
But down a quarterback.
They're going to be undefeated every year just because of their strength of schedule. I mean, I understand that they were competitive against LSU, but UCF's never given a reason to be like, yeah, we need to consider them.
Except beating Auburn in a bowl game last year and then losing a competitive game to LSU. I mean, that does prove they're on the level of at least the second tier of SEC teams. I mean, that's actually pretty huge.
It proves to me that they would belong in over a two-loss Big Ten champion, a two-loss Big 12 champion, a two-loss SEC champion.
I'd say right. Two-loss any champion.
Two-loss teams getting in now are just kind of...
It could happen. I mean, yeah. It could very easily happen. If Alabama drops two, you know, just shocker games, the SEC champion two loss could get in as a four seed.
Yeah, it could happen.
Big hypothetical, but it could.
Yeah. All the reason for eight teams. Don't have to go down
fine.
That road.
College football would spark my interest completely again if there was an 18.
I'd be fine four, with six. I'm just, give me six.
I mean, any increase is good.
I said 16.
But.
I said 16, too.
I say 32.
64.
64?
No, I mean, here's the thing.
1 million.
Really, when you get any team in the top 10, I know Alabama and Clemson are on different levels right now in their, you know, their depth, the talent they're bringing.
They'd still come out of an eight-team playoff as the two teams.
Eight teams, first round bye. For the top two, because I don't
see.
See,
I'm thinking
Alabama,
that's what I'm saying. Six teams. If you do six teams, you get the first round bye. You get any one loss or better Power Five champion and undefeated at large.
I'd buy it.
That's what. That's where I'd go with it.
I'd buy
now,
it.
But... In this scenario, Notre Dame still gets in over UCF. If we did that,
I don't know. Yeah, probably this.
But that's where I put UCF in over
Washington.
So.
They're always going to be, like Barker said, they're always going to be kind of looked at as the out team. There's an easy scapegoat there,
and it's
strength of schedule.
And it's somewhat fair. I mean, just not extremely, just somewhat. But anything that can get my South Louisiana Mud Dogs in those playoffs, I'm all for it.
It's been your team since what?
Since I was a 02? Kid.
Yeah.
Since I was watching Happy Days in the Fonz, man. That long.
South Louisiana Mud Dogs. Man, they had an amazing linebacker a few years back, didn't they?
Way better than Joe Montana.
He used to be their water boy.
What are the odds?
I don't know.
Good story. Good story.
It's true. True story. I have something to tell you guys. It's kind of an exciting moment today that we should be proud of, even though it's a small moment. Just one of those small podcast victory moments. There was three fellas. They didn't look like us, but, you know, they were all recording a Facebook Live football podcast together. They didn't have a name that I've ever heard of. I couldn't find it on any podcasting sites. But they were doing a Facebook Live, three dudes doing a podcast. And, of course, when you join that, which it just popped up on my feed, you know, you can comment. So I was like, you know, Olaf from the Back Row Fantasy Show, just messing around. One of them got super excited and was like, hey, one of the guys from the Back Row Fantasy Show just commented. Like, I was like, I expected them to be like, what's that? What's the fantasy show? Like, it's, you know, and I was going to have to explain, like, oh, I'd love if you come listen. It's a podcast we made. But instead, they were like, I love dude. Felt like Robert Downey Jr. for a second.
More like Kevin Federline.
Whatever. Famous is famous.
I've heard the name before.
I've heard of you. I don't know much about you.
Dude got to nail Britney Spears. I don't even want to hear it. I'm jealous.
Hey, while you guys were rambling in that 2013 NFL rookie class, Zach Ertz, Robert Woods.
There were some good Hopkins, but listen.
Hey.
Glad you brought that back up.
Zach Stacy.
There's only Zach Stacy.
Justin Hunter was also in that class.
Zach Stacy was impressive for a minute. Just
there
a minute.
Six games there. He was
right. But Tavon Austin was the first receiver off the board in 13. Cordarrelle Patterson was the third wide receiver off the board.
In the first round, too.
In the first round.
About, 18, 13 picks, something like that with Cordell?
Sadly, Cordell's had a fairly successful NFL career. Not a first-rounder successful, he's played running back now. Yeah. He's a punt returner, kick returner, wide receiver. I mean,
yeah, listen, I mean, he's...
Gunner. I mean, dude's...
Dude's been around. I mean, he's a veteran now when he should have been waived and dropped and never looked at again, but he's found a way to be... Just enough of a gadget player that he's like, you can't get rid of me. I'm going to be
just enough of a gadget player.
I'm literally going to be 40 years old like Jerry Rice. I'll play for the Seahawks. I'll catch one ball a year and I'll be like, he's still doing it, folks. Cordarrelle Patterson's been doing this his whole career.
We're going to look at Cordarrelle Patterson.
He's the type of player that will do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
you can't take that.
If the coach needs his ass wiped, Cordarrelle!
You know what's funny, though? With Cordarrelle Patterson, we're going to look back and like, 22 years, he's still going to be playing, and somehow he's like a top 25 statistics receiver. You're like, how in God's name did that happen? Averaging 200 yards receiving a year, how do you do that?
Come to find out, he's like, well, I heard my name on the Back Row Fantasy Show, and I wanted to prove them three rednecks wrong.
Speaking of, I mean,
I believe in you, Cordell.
Tennessee Vols.
Tennessee Vols all the way.
Man, the speaking of the Vikings, Cordarrelle Patterson, Sidney Rice, Laquon Treadwell, not a lot of success in the first round at wide receiver.
No.
A few more names to throw at you. Terrence Williams, Quentin Patton, Marcus Wheaton, Justin Hunter, Stedman Bailey, Kobe Hamilton, Aaron Dobson. Remember Aaron Dobson?
Marshall product. Him.
Yeah, Marquise Goodwin was in there.
I think Aaron Dobson did not have a drop his senior year of college. That's like was a huge hype about him. It's like, oh my God, a guy who has the surest hands in the NCAA now has Tom Brady throwing the ball. Wow, he's going to be a stud. Nope.
Even, oh God, this class was gold. Running backs, Giovanni Bernard, possibly the best of the bunch. Eddie Lacy, Joseph Randall, Andre Ellington, Monty Ball, Marcus Lattimore. Dude, I can't even go. Christine Michael.
All these names you know. Like, ooh, every one of those guys was like, man, he was
so hyped coming out. That was
such a bad been good. Draft.
You As know, you read that, I was like, he could have been good. He could have been good.
All of them.
He was supposed to be good.
Joseph Randall looked just fine before he stole some negligee off the wall of a Victoria's Secret.
Monty Ball goes to Denver. It's like, oh, great. Then
fantasy gold is what I was thinking.
They get Maurice Claret, and nobody's relevant. It's like, oh, great. You guys all suck.
Zach Stacy. It's like Matt Damon on Team America. Zach Stacy. Like Doug Judy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
They rectified that shortly after. He went to the Rams, didn't he? Stacy?
Yes. Yes.
A couple years later, they ended up doing okay with the running back. That girly kid.
Yeah, he's all right. I see a lot of Saquon Barkley projections above him for next year.
Saquon 01,
exactly. I've seen a bunch of that on the internet as of late. And let's just say what we got to say about it. Let's do some rookie grading.
You know what? I'm on that. Before you jump into it, I'm on the Saquon 101.
You're on the train?
I'm on the train. Gurley's tapered off. Gurley's tapered off. CMC doesn't have staying power.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. Maybe in the last couple games where he was out with an injury.
I said tapered. Like the first week of your New Year's resolution diet, you taper off a few pounds. Just a little bit. He's gone down a little bit. Just enough to be like, Saquon 101. I can see
his age now. Like, Saquon's young. Gurley's 26?
25, I think. He still
will be 26.
Stupidly young.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm going to go ahead and say it. If I have the first overall pick, straight up, it's probably Saquon Barkley.
Dude caught a lot of balls.
That's the biggest thing.
I'm kind of there too.
You add in his pass catching prowess, and realistically, he's the number two receiver on that team. I mean,
as long as Eli's on, because you know when Eli chucks him up with the blindfold on, Saquon just knows where to go.
Bird box.
Yeah.
Bird box.
What'd I say?
Blind bird box.
blind bird box. But,
you know, when Freebird, Eli Manning.
Saquon led rookies in receptions.
So he did. All there of you them. Go. Wide receivers and all. I can't wait to dive in and see some of these rookies apart.
Something like 91.
91 receptions.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Very Reggie Bush-like numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, except in the body of Zeus.
All right. Dive us in. Throw us in.
All right. Let's see.
Waterboard us into this episode.
See if we can do us some justice here. All right, so grades. Starting out on quarterbacks, this is rookie grades only. Top of the class. I don't think there will be an argument here. I've got an A-plus grade on Baker Mayfield's season. Dude threw for 3,700 yards, broke a rookie touchdown record, threw the amount of picks that veterans in the league are throwing. Baker Mayfield literally looked like a veteran, not a rookie this year. And that's an A-plus.
Keep in mind, didn't start game one.
No.
So the people who were tied at first for that rookie touchdown record, there's a couple guys you may have heard of. Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. A couple all right guys.
Yeah.
One is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and the other, honestly, continues this trajectory. He's going to be as well.
Yeah. I mean, looking that good as a rookie, even if you're drafted at one overall, he's still a great value. They got a franchise guy.
The
Browns did it.
He made the Browns look good.
Yes.
Like smart. They're making smart decisions.
I went all the way back to the 1997 draft class because I kind of glanced a little bit before that, and most of the teams were sitting rookies, you know, not letting them start year one. But the only player that had more yards per game than Baker Mayfield was Andrew Luck. So we're talking the class that he's in, he's playing to the level that an Andrew Luck, a Peyton Manning, and a Russell Wilson played their rookie year.
Yeah. As bad as I want to argue A-plus, I want to be like, A-plus, man? I mean, what you're saying, there's nothing better than Baker Mayfield's rookie season. And actually,
A-plus
there isn't a whole lot. I
2018.
Mean, no, I'm not even for 2018. All time is what we're saying here. You know, he's in the class.
Watch the 12-minute video of him being mic'd up. And that easily pushes your A to an A+.
Oh, yeah.
We got a hybrid of Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck that loves Phil Collins. It does not get any better than just that.
Watch him drum to...
Boom, 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 boom.
Perfect.
I can feel it coming. I like hearing him sing it, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's just bouncing around. Like,
and this is coming from mostly Ohio State guys. Like... Baker Mayfield is, honestly, we've had a lot of hype for him. He's the real deal. He is absolutely the real deal.
Gave us our soundbite of the year, too, when he came out and was like, how'd you feel about the game today? I woke up feeling dangerous. I mean, that's one of the coolest, like, lines I think I've ever heard from a quarterback. And hey, dude, he's a real deal.
And the stare down of Hugh Jackson. I loved it. I loved it. Anybody that was on TV complaining about that, like, go watch something else.
And by the
that
way,
that was gold.
If you go look, better when they asked him about it, and he was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Never happened. No. Now, like, if you go back
Hugh
and look,
who? Never heard of her.
The quarterbacks that were rookies that even compared to his stats, most of them threw 500 or 600 passes. Baker threw 486.
Yeah. Not a ton of volume and got a lot done with that volume. But just how good can he be?
If he gets a stud receiver, I'm talking about, I know Jarvis is there, but he needs like a
talking
big,
like a Lima Swede.
A big body, like, yeah.
Dude, if they go get DK Metcalf.
Ooh. Yeah.
Put Jarvis in the slot.
Why not? And have Antonio Callaway. We'll get to him with rookie wide receivers, but Antonio Callaway is not bad. I'm just saying he needs a stud big target that he can, yeah, when he's in trouble, he can immediately lock on. I think when he's rolling around the pocket in trouble, he's still having to scan. He doesn't have his go-to guy.
His current 6'5 guy drops 5 balls a game. So
yeah, yeah. It's hard to stare down David Njoku while you're in trouble.
He needs a Devontae Adams like pro.
We need 10 yards. God, Njoku's wide open, but he hasn't dropped a ball yet today. I know it's coming.
Let me force this in there to anyone else but Njoku. But you give him an outlet.
Super athlete.
You give him an outlet. Dude, that Browns team's scary. Playoff scary for 2019.
7-8. I think we were all hopeful for 9-7, and we may have even said it a few times, but that was us being hopeful.
7-8-1, baby.
7-8-1, nothing. Wu-Tang said it ain't nothing happened.
Well, did you see Demaryius Randle came out and said the AFC North now goes through Cleveland, and he's absolutely right.
He's correct.
I believe he's right, absolutely.
The only guy I think that might have something to say about that in the AFC North next year is the next guy on the list. To me, this is where I expect somebody to possibly differ from me. I've got a B, which is second in the class grade, on Lamar Jackson.
I'm higher than that. I have Lamar Jackson as an A-. Now, this is coming as an overall quarterback. Is he a fantasy stud yet? No.
On his way.
But he's on his way. He's got the mobility you love. He's got the Michael Vick type mobility with a much better arm and accuracy than Michael Vick.
I don't know. I just think you guys are completely out of your minds here.
What?
No, the body of work's not there. Thank you, Lambert.
High five from Lambert. What is going on?
You're talking about a guy who threw for 1,100 yards. He threw 6 yards. Touchdowns. I mean, come on. You can't give him A-. I got nothing more than a C on him, which is just very undetermined on him. Are they winning football games with him at the helm? Yeah. But did they win football games with Joe Flacco at the helm? Yeah. I mean, the quarterback's one of the least important positions on the way the Ravens run their football team. I mean, it goes to the defense, goes to the run game. So to me, he didn't have to do much. He didn't show me anything excellent. So I got a C on him. I'm not sold on him fantasy wise or career wise in the NFL.
The Ravens are winning games because of their defense.
Oh yeah,
he's doing enough to put them over the top, and they're keeping people out of the end zone.
Just enough. Right now, man, I don't know. I mean, there's a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL. I'd take Jameis Winston. I'd take Marcus Mariota over him right now.
I highly disagree.
I don't know. For that team.
Here's my argument. So Lamar Jackson, passing, 56.2% completion rate. Which,
it's terrible.
Which it is, but it was better than Rosen. And it was better than Josh Allen. I'm not saying that that's something to like
hang
stand
on
the mountain on.
But it was better. Oh, okay, better. I'll give you that.
You have 1,200 yards and the limited amount of time that he played. 7.1 average on his yards per throw, which is second in the rookie class.
So throw it down the field a little bit.
He can throw it down the field a little. 6 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, basically on the short watch, kind of the same clip as Baker was on. 2-1 touchdown ratio.
Ratio wise,
I'm not saying
production
he would have done
wise,
it.
No.
Not saying he would have done it. I'm saying 2 touchdowns to every interception. That's
you're
pretty,
right.
Pretty
he's,
good.
At, he's at the same clip.
Pretty good for Lamar Jackson that we didn't expect. I expect more interceptions than touchdowns from Lamar Jackson.
I don't know if I'm taking him second out of this class, though, is my only thing.
The rushing yards, 695.
And 5 touchdowns.
In how many games?
basically seven.
That's where the B comes in. I'm not talking as a quarterback. I'm talking as the position. Like, you draft the position, he's the second best player at the position.
I agree. And like I said, I have him in as an A-minus because I think that he has a floor now of rushing. And I'll give him 500 to 600 yards every year rushing. I don't expect 800, 900, 1,000 yards rushing every year. But you add that into 200 or 300 passing yards a game, let's say 225, give him another 50 on the ground. Everyone knows rushing yards are more valuable. Rushing touchdowns in most leagues are more valuable than passing touchdowns, usually 6-4. So you add a little bit of that here and there, and that's where Lamar Jackson becomes the number two in this draft class. Yeah.
He scored as many.
Josh Allen that same rushing floor.
We're getting there.
I'll get there.
We are getting there.
All right, I'll let you move on, but I don't.
Last thing, Lamar Jackson.
Where are you guys grading him?
I got him C. Like, I'm just undecided. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. They won ball games. That's great, but I don't know. He just didn't do anything to impress me. There's nothing that says he's going to be Russell Wilson on the ground and through the air. I think he's going to struggle through the air most of his career.
He was fantasy startable, and the Ravens are in the playoffs.
Oh, I think he's impressive. I just don't think he's the second best rookie quarterback.
This year?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm on that boat.
All right. 11 total touchdowns. Josh Rosen had 11 total touchdowns on a whole season. Just like me, some Lamar.
Well, I got Josh Rosen as like a D-minus.
Me too.
And that's generous.
I've got him way down there. So let's – okay, this is where it gets tough. So the third best grade for a quarterback, I've got a tie. I've got Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, and I'll see where you guys got him. Then we'll talk about why we got him, where we got him.
I'm going to go with Allen above Sam Darnold. I actually have Allen as a B-plus. For the time that he was actually playing, he looks like a competent quarterback. You add in the rushing ability that nobody knew he had. Like, I'm not sure that Josh Allen knew he had that kind of rushing ability. Now, once again, I'm not going to say I'm giving him 600-700 yards in, you know, rushing, but you add 300 or 400 a year onto the guy, giving a couple wide receivers and a competent running back that's not, you know, falling apart, Josh Allen's going to be a good quarterback.
He's my number two out of this year. Josh Allen was.
I'm going to go. I'm going with Sam Darnold. I still like what Sam Darnold done early, kind of wore down. I think defense has figured out how to blitz him, how to attack him, and he's going to make an adjustment. He's an intelligent quarterback. So I actually went Sam Darnold as a B-plus. I actually enjoyed – I liked what he put on film. He had a positive touchdown-interception ratio. That's what you want to see. Baker, we already said it. That was an elite rookie year. Sam Darnold showed that he can put points on the board in a New York offense that is devoid, completely devoid of playmakers, running back, tight end, or wide receiver. He was successful. So I like what he did as a quarterback. I like where y'all are going with the Josh Rosen the Josh Allen intangibles, the running the football, get him some receivers. Same thing with Sam Darnold. But Sam Darnold just throws the ball better. Throws a better ball, a little bit more advanced in his progressions and everything like that than Josh Allen, in my book.
Down the stretch, Allen played so much better than Darnold, I think.
Right.
They had inverse seasons. Yeah, and again, I think the defenses found a way to attack Sam Darnold, where Josh Allen, he just didn't have to prepare for Buffalo.
He had tons of injuries.
And he didn't show most of his
start initially. I mean,
most of his success was on the ground, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what he will do in a full 16 games having to pass the ball, having to throw the ball. I mean, he only threw the ball, what, 320 times, 2,000 yards? He's got not enough on tape for me to put him over Sam Darnold.
Reason I got him dead-heated, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, the talent around him, pretty similar. I mean, neither team can say, you know, we've got the edge there for a rookie quarterback. Pretty even there. Darnold versus Allen, as far as completion percentage goes, Darnold's 5% better. That's a huge stat.
Absolutely.
I mean, completion percentage is a major stat in today's NFL. The yards, passing yards.
That was a worry coming out of the draft.
Yeah, it was for Josh Allen. And it's kind of confirmed. Now, I think we expected more out of Darnold, closer to 60 when Baker can throw almost 64. But Darnold, like Nitt said, threw 17 touchdowns versus 15 picks. And Josh Allen threw 10 to 12, 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I like Josh Allen's rushing ability, the athletic ability, the upside to me is all better than Darnold, but Darnold showed more poise in year one, which kind of has him dead heated for me.
So I had Darnold, you know, right behind Josh Allen. It was close. I have him, you know, at a B minus, something in that range. Just there was times to where you're wondering, is he going to be the starting quarterback next week? You know, that happened with Sam Darnold. Whenever Josh Allen got it on the field, it's like, man, the dude's doing everything he can.
It could happen once, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't he get replaced for one game?
Yeah, but that you didn't have that worry, really, with Josh Allen other than with injury. You know, and with rushing comes the potential for injury. We all know that. But I do like Sam Darnold's upside. If you get some receivers around him, a viable running game. I know Isaiah Crowell had some decent games this year. I fully get that. But you get a real, you know, real-life NFL-caliber running back, and Darnold's going to have a good fantasy career as well.
And then, taking the end of the train, Josh Rosen. I got him with a D. And when I look at it, it's kind of unfair almost, because his touchdowns to interceptions, pretty similar to Josh Allen's. His completion percentage, 2.5 points better. Threw for some more yards. He did have more attempts, but
he had more games.
But Josh Rosen, like, I wanted to say he was atrocious this season, but I think I'm not going to go that far. He was just not good.
I'll back you up in saying he wasn't atrocious. Like that team was a wreck. Like
it was.
I mean, they have playmakers all over the. It's
more than the other two quarterbacks.
It seems
we just talked
like
about.
They have playmakers. They have playmaking names in Larry Fitzgerald. Like Christian Kirk, we're not sure what he's going to be. And David Johnson was kind of a shell of himself.
Maybe that was because of Rosen.
Was that problem Rosen? I think it may have been more coaching,
yeah.
Offensive scheme, et cetera. You know, I mean, they were in a transition year there amongst head coach and coaching philosophy. So, I mean, to me, you can't. I'm not going to absolutely crucify Josh Rosen. But then again,
do you want to crown
him? D is very fair. Like he's going to have his NFL career is going to be made next year. I mean. If he has another year like he did this year, shows no progression, replace him. Replaceable.
I can't disagree.
I don't think he's like a project.
When you look, you can go on.
I agree with what Nettle was saying.
I have him a little bit better than you guys. I have him at a C minus. But when you look at this team, these quarterbacks out of any of them, I could see Rosen being replaced in 3 years.
I could
very
too.
Realistically, I could see him never breaking 25, 26 touchdowns. I could see that being the case and having just as many interceptions over his career as touchdowns and end up being a backup journeyman quarterback. We said it before, Josh Rosen's not a winner.
Boom.
Josh Rosen's not a winner.
The fire wasn't there.
It wasn't in college either.
No.
We talked about that in the offseason. Josh Rosen is what we thought he was. Everything we thought he was, it's playing out his rookie year in the NFL. Now, it's harder. The NFL's harder on rookies, particularly when you got to play the Seahawks twice, when you got to play the Rams twice.
Yeah. I mean, when we all three played, it was tough.
It was tough.
Jeez. I mean, you got to play.
Well, Lambert played too. I'm not used to this. When the four of us played,
when you got to play two of the better teams in the league, two playoff caliber teams, four times, you're going to struggle. But they're not going away.
No.
They're going to be there for the next 2 or 3 years. And I mean, just chalk it up. He's getting 4 losses a year before he plays anybody else.
It's tough on the guy. It's tough.
It's 2 days, man.
Yeah, Josh Rosen.
There. He could be so bad. Or
he could be Jared Goff.
So good.
Yeah, he could. It's 50-50, which is a worse bet than the other quarterback.
I just don't think that if you look at the totality of talent that was around Jared Goff last year, the Cardinals aren't even close.
No,
like there's miles and miles apart between those guys. So. I just don't think Josh Rosen's a long-term solution at quarterback for any team in the NFL, in my opinion.
I won't go that far yet, but like Labor just said, I won't be surprised
if it goes next year. Who's shocked?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody wrote Jared Goff off too.
Josh Rosen should be the 29th to 30th quarterback off in the fantasy drafts next year.
Agree 100%.
No reason to upside. Any more quarterbacks to note?
Just want to note that Kyle Laletta never really got a chance, so his grade is incomplete.
Oh, he should have, though.
He should have.
So many games
So bad. And just want to touch on Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen for Carolina actually came in and looked like a competent quarterback for the game that Cam Newton was out. The grade is incomplete. Just the only other player at quarterback for the rookies that played any meaningful snaps. Good job, Kyle Allen.
Hey,
Nick Mullins.
Yeah, but Kyle Allen, he could
forgot
be the
about
next,
Nick Mullins.
Could be the next Tony Romo. Who knows? Just kind of out of nowhere, like a guy you drafted, and then 3 years later, thrust into service, and you end up with a Tony Romo career and Kyle Allen. I mean, this guy to monitor happens that all the time.
Who doesn't love being thrust into service?
I mean, whenever you're talking about I mentioned earlier the running of a quarterback. Cam Newton is a real bad run away from being out of the NFL. I mean, they don't treat Cam Newton like most quarterbacks. He doesn't get the protection most quarterbacks get. So,
was that your foot? Oops. I footsied with someone, but it was Lambert.
It was my dead foot. Don't worry about it.
Hey.
Too many feet under this
now
table.
I feel like a necromania. Wait, is that what's got necrophiliac?
Yeah.
No, I'm a necrophiliac. I'm loving on a dead leg.
For our listeners, you're getting ADA credit because I have a paralyzed foot. So... So just,
it's like the black foot from Mr. Deeds.
Legitimately, I have to wear what's called it's called an AFO brace. Look it up.
Jalen Smith, right?
In high school, I took a helmet to the knee, bent my leg completely backwards, tore three ligaments, and stretched a nerve. So I wear a brace for it.
He's basically Leonard Fournette. Don't draft Leonard Fournette this coming season, by the way.
He's a lot more like Marcus Lattimore, if you really
know. I'd probably take him over Elijah McGuire, though.
It's close. It's real close.
So bring on the rookie running backs.
We're in. A plus Saquon. I don't even know if we have to explain why, but
Saquon got an A plus for a third year running back.
Yeah,
and he's a rookie.
Yeah,
I mean, I talked against him a little bit in the offseason. I had high hopes for him. I will say that. But for people to say I'm taking him over Kamara or I'm taking him, you know, above. I'm like, you are insane.
Gator Edwards.
Kareem Hunt. People are like, he's the number one, number two, number three guy. I'm like, you're all nuts. You're all nuts. You can't do that. And you made the right choice. He was
You didn't make a wrong choice.
He is as billed. He is everything we thought he was going to be and hoped he would be. He really is. I mean,
just tell Giants fans they didn't make a wrong choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It still blows my team.
They got a plan. They're building.
Blows my mind whenever they say, well, I should draft a quarterback. No, you shouldn't have.
No, did you see the quarterbacks we just graded? You think Sam Darnold would have got you there? You think Josh Rosen would have got you there?
No.
Made the right choice.
No, you're getting carried by those quads.
Right.
Dude. You build an NFL running back in a computer system, it comes out with Saquon Barkley.
I think you've said that before.
I can't argue against A+.
A+? I mean, 91 receptions, 721 yards and 4 touchdowns.
2,000 total.
That's in the
2,000 total yards.
That's in the air.
1,307 on the ground and with 11. Dude's a beast.
And he wasn't a goal line back. He did it, but scoring from 70, 75, 78 yards out. I mean, one of the I think it was against the Cowboys.
Seven runs of 40 plus yards or more.
Just sealed up like 60 yards out. He catches the ball. Three guys in front of him. Makes him miss, makes him miss, makes him miss. Slides between two people that you're like, he's getting tackled. And on to pay dirt. He's amazing.
Next for me, I expect some indifference as well. I've got a tie on this one as well.
Don't tie.
I'm sorry.
Break it.
I have two A grades after Saquon, and it's Nick Chubb on the, you know, didn't even play for a little bit, and Phillip Lindsay. They're both A's for me, especially Phillip Lindsay, the value you got. You got a 1,000-yard rusher with 9 touchdowns from an was it a 7th-round pick or undrafted, Ned?
Undrafted.
Honestly, undrafted. In partial timeshare.
Yes, right. With Royce Freeman, who was highly touted by the fantasy community. Phillip Lindsay, the Nit predicted, I'm going to say this every year we do this show, was an A. The value was an A. I almost gave him an A+. The only thing holding me back from an A+ was just a little more volume and opportunity before Freeman. Like, it took him a minute. It took him a minute to unseat Freeman.
No, I got to say.
I'll go ahead and let you drool all over Philip Lindsay.
No, actually, I'm going to go a different direction. I was actually more impressed with Nick Chubb as a long-term running back. Like, I have Nick Chubb. So, first off, before I start talking about these two, I have to say Saquon Barkley's A-plus is, like, so much further away from an A. Like,
I agree.
Like, I'm going to grade Nick Chubb as an A. Like, very impressed down the stretch. I mean, 1,000 yards. Called 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, contributed in the passing game with a rookie quarterback around him. Like, he was extremely successful. And I see Nick Chubb as a long-term back in the NFL more than Philip Lindsay, who I had at a B. I actually had him a couple tiers down because Philip Lindsay didn't really get involved in the passing game as much.
Which was like, surprising.
But I give Nick Chubb an A, but it's so far away from that A-plus I gave Saquon Barkley.
Agreed.
So, to me, I'm actually going to put Philip Lindsay down a step. He could still lose touches next year.
So you got an A-minus on Lindsay?
No, I got a B. Like, I got him down quite a bit from Nick Chubb.
I think they're both A grades, but I do pick Chubb over.
Now, I'm not talking, like, projecting. Right. Dynasty,
season.
I want Chubb.
Nick Chubb didn't start till week 7.
Right. Dynasty, give me Chubb.
You got to think all the timeshares that Philip Lindsay was in. I mean, just him and Royce Freeman pretty much split carries.
Booker. I mean, right. Booker got some run a little bit. Nothing crazy, but overall picture was like, man, he's decent.
Guys, I have Nick Chubb as an A, and I have Philip Lindsay as a B+. But Nick Chubb, what he did in really such a short period of time through the games, if you span literally, you almost just double what he did. And for a given full season, you could almost double what he did. Let's not call him 2,000 yards. Let's call him 1,600 yards, 1,500 yards.
We can call the possibility that he would have done that all season because we don't know anything otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to think he wouldn't. Because, I mean, he didn't play any better teams the first half than he played the second half.
We have one reason to think he wouldn't. Hugh Jackson was there for a while.
Touche.
So we do have that reason. But Nick Chubb probably couldn't have done that with Hugh Jackson.
But let's realize something, though. Carlos Hyde, who isn't playing any downs in the NFL and didn't for the last few weeks, he was one of the leading rushers for the first 5 weeks.
He was.
So you add that to Nick Chubb's stats, he's a 1,500 yard back. He's better than Carlos Hyde.
I'm ready for this one, too. This one should be interesting. My next guy on the list.
By the way, I do want to point something out real quick. Philip Lindsay, 5.4 yards carry. Nick Chubb, 5.2 yards carry. Last year, Hunt had 4.9. Fournette had 3.9. The only players that outdid them with any considerable time, Kamara, 6.1. We know what that was about. A lot of gimmicks. A lot of, you know, he's a special player. Aaron Jones and Austin Eckler had 5.5 yards carry last year.
Now, again, before I sign off on that one, I am grading their 18 season. Dynasty, give me Chubb. How they performed in 18 for your fantasy squad, that's why I gave them both A's. Next guy on the list for me at a B+, unfortunately, some injury was involved, but Kerryon Johnson was impressive.
Yeah, preach, man. That's who I got number 4.
He was super impressive. He averaged 5.4 a carry, 641 yards, and even more limited fashion than Nick Chubb. And he also caught a handful of balls, 32 for 213 and 1. Over the full course of the season, he might have caught 65 balls. So, yeah. I mean, Kerryon Johnson for the body of work, B+. He's a guy I'm excited about. I want him on dynasty squads.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. That 5.4 yards carry tied with Philip Lindsay. Mm-hmm. And going forward, it's most likely Kerryon's job by himself.
If not, the Lions are nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine them wanting to bring back LeGarrette Blount next year just to leech away a couple goal line carries from Kerryon Johnson. And he rendered a theoretic, and you know the pass catching backs up there in Detroit rendered them completely irrelevant. I mean, Kerryon Johnson's a darn good running back, and I actually had him graded as B+ as well.
I got him right there to be like Kerryon, super impressed with him. Just being a little more critical, I guess, in my gradings. But I was super impressed by him. Agree that he should be the starter next year. And the thing that I love about Kerryon, even though he had the injury that kept him off the field, In college, he's a warrior. Like, this dude is your typical running back, wants to be on the field, unlike a Fournette who finds a way to get off the field. Kerryon, when he gets into whenever the Detroit Lions are competitive again, he's going to want the rock in his hand. He's going to find a way to stay on the field. I think he's a durable back over the course of his career as much as he is a successful back statistically.
So I don't think there's much of an argument. Saquon, top three, all right, 3 to 5. Nick Chubb, right there behind him, 6, 7, 8, in that range at least. Phillip Lindsay, to me, probably falls closer to 8,
running
9,
back
10.
Two. Yeah.
But Kerryon Johnson, I've got to take him in consideration right there. I'm taking him over Leonard Fournette next
They're
year. All down.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking him over Fournette,
and,
too.
And yeah.
Lamber, where you got?
He's a B for me, absolutely. I'm picking up what you guys are putting down. I love what he's doing up in Detroit. That.
I actually have him higher than Phillip Lindsay. Like, I'd, in 2019, if we want to talk about next year, I'd go Kerryon Johnson over Phillip Lindsay.
Think I would, too. I trust his long-term.
I trust his volume.
I think Royce Freeman could make that.
Royce Freeman's good enough to warrant carries.
Right.
Period. He's going to get carries, and that's the only thing that's hurting Phillip Lindsay.
Yep, I agree. Next on the list for me, I got Sony Michel, and I don't think it was close with anyone else after him. But Sony Michel, pretty good. 4.5 yards a carry. He was only 70 yards shy of a 1,000-yard season. The reason I don't have him higher than a B, I got him in a B because he showed he's a running back. I don't have him higher because he didn't show a lot in the passing game.
Showed nearly nothing in the passing game.
They probably didn't let him, but
it was
still,
the James White show on passing downs a lot of the time.
It was, but I mean, again, like Sony Michel, we thought that was going to be his main –
that was going to put him over the top.
In fantasy, and the fact that he couldn't show that to the Patriots and pass James White, or at least share with James White.
I mean, I think Michelle, I don't have it written down, but I want to say he had like 2 catches for 20 yards.
Nothing. And it was obvious that he didn't get a chance. But
now he was injured some.
Yeah.
But whenever he was injured, James White was an animal all around.
7 for 50.
What was it? Okay.
7 receptions, 50 yards.
It's good stuff.
Nothing to bark at.
Nothing to bark at. Uh-oh. But I think, I think he should have showed his prowess in the pass game a little more and, earned himself more of that work. But somehow he didn't.
Is he capable? Yes.
He's capable. I got him at a B-, but if it was his backfield alone, it's huge upside.
That's where I have him, and that's exactly my opinion of him. For some reason James White's on a different team next year, I'm going all in on Sony Michel.
As would I.
Yep.
He's going to be near the back end of my top 10 at least.
With James White there, I'm not as excited about him as the guys we've mentioned already.
Yeah, I'd still put Phillip Lindsay over. I'd still draft Phillip Lindsay over Sony Michel if James White's there. But man, if it's Sony Michel's backfield, you can almost argue him as the third running back. You can put him over Kerryon. You could put him right up in there with Nick Chubb.
It'd be a real good argument, particularly as long as Tom Brady's there. The rest of the team around him is quality.
Yeah,
and as we know, Bill Belichick's defense is going to get those running backs plenty of opportunities. In New England.
I feel like this is an upset or a surprise with the next guy. There's not many left after him that are worth grading. We'll grade him anyway, some of them. But Gus the Gummy Gator Edwards nabbed a B from me, right on par with Sony Michel. I got Michel above him. I'm going to change Gus the Gummy Gator to a B- just for the sake of him being below Sony Michel. But, dude, 5.2 yards a carry, 700 yards, kind of like Chubb, didn't get an opportunity till later than Chubb.
Yep.
And he played good ball. Like, he's a good running back. But there might not be longevity there. I'm not saying go pony up in Dynasty
League.
He
was actually the one that's 2 receptions for 20 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't do anything there. But, man, Gus Edwards was definitely probably huge for you. If you picked him up off waivers late in the season and you already had a decent team lacking a running back.
I
give him the B- because the value.
You stole him. And I'm going to go C on him. C+ is where I have Gus, just because of the not coming on in the, I won't say struggles in the beginning of the season, just lack of opportunity there. But when he came on, he was solid. He was rock solid, but he's more of that bowling ball, never going to be a part of the passing game whatsoever.
Next LeGarrette.
That's what I have to say. C. I mean, he did it. He did so much in the rushing game and nothing in the passing game. That just leaves you right in the middle. C.
So, to liken it to some players that we're familiar with, Rob Kelly, Alfred Morris.
Oh yeah,
just the bowling ball straight forward.
C.J. Anderson,
catch a couple passes a season, not a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got him at a C+. I want to have him higher because he was so productive in the running game, but he's not. He's completely non-existent in the passing game, and that's scary.
The pawn shop, Adrian Peterson.
Pawn shop, AP.
Like, I can't afford a new AP. I'm going to go to the pawn shop and pick me up a Gus Edwards.
Lambert, you got any input on Gummy Gator?
C for me. For all the reasons you guys listed.
I love the Gummy Gator. After Gus the Gummy Gator, I have a couple C+ grades.
I have Josh Allen as the sixth best running back off the board.
I kind of got him and Lamar Jackson starred just because they're both running backs and quarterback positions. But I actually kind of liked Royce Freeman this year. I mean, I'm not saying, like, he was
that your
second.
C+?
He's my C+.
All right.
I 4 yards a carry is fine. It's in the middle, C+. 521 yards. He had 5 touchdowns.
That's a good year.
That's a decent second rookie. Like, you're playing on the team with another rookie. Your second fiddle. Those are good second fiddle numbers. I just C+ because he looks like he could be a future running back in 2018. Was not a B or an A as we expected, but he was fine. And a C+, like my mom told me, is fine. It's fine.
You got to shoot higher.
It's a passing score.
Tell your mother to shoot higher.
She won't do that.
Because to me, I got him as a D. It was a failure of a season for him, technically. I mean, he was supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to come in and own that job. He did not do that. The 4 yards of carry are modest. But that was on fresh legs. Like, he should have done more. He should have taken the reins. To me, it was an unsuccessful rookie campaign for Royce Freeman when you lose to an undrafted rookie. And now I believe he does have the longevity of a very capable backup running back. And frankly, you put him on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he probably would have been a starter. But
that'd be great. That's a trade that needs to happen.
He's tied into a rookie contract with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, he's going to be a Bronco for the next 2 years in this role. Like, long term, it's Philip Lindsay. Royce Freeman is just going to do this year in, year out, which is irrelevant in fantasy.
I don't know if I'd drop him to a D, but limited opportunities, he's a C-. He's close.
I have him as a C because I think he did well whenever he had the opportunity. The problem is I'm terrified of both him and Philip Lindsay next year, because if one of them Freeman works his ass off in the offseason and gets the hot hand, Freeman's going to be a force. You know, Freeman could be very well, as we've said many times, he could take over that job. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But he very well could. He's got the talent to do it.
Yeah,
he does. I just like him for the future. But, yeah, he did not give us what we were hoping. He was like a top 8 pick and rookie drafts, and he did not give us top 8 production, that's for sure.
Couple other names to note.
Josh Adams, Philadelphia Eagles. I thought for where he came into the team for a rookie, like for him to be that second half of the season guy that could have a future, I gave him a C+, 4.3 a carry, 5'11", just more out of him than anyone expected, and I think that's enough for just a C+. He's like your flyer at the end of drafts next year, which is what I think Royce Freeman is too. So I had to give him a C+. I like what both of them did.
I've got him as C-, but I feel like Josh Adams has a clearer path to playing.
He does, definitely, than Royce Freeman.
I don't know. Josh Adams could be drafted out of position next year too. Like, I mean, they're solid at wide receiver. They made the trade for Golden Tate. They have all the tight ends plus a rookie. They got their franchise quarterback. They could go running back in the second round and get a stud instead of having to roll with Josh Adams. And I kind of expect – I think the Philadelphia Eagles were like, we have stars at running back, and you get injuries, you get incompetence, and then you get Josh Adams. Now it's time for the Eagles to go out and actually draft a running back that can be consistently capable and be that franchise guy.
Yep.
That's what I'm scared with Josh Adams.
His best bet is that they draft a Rojo, and he just keeps on trucking like Peyton Barber.
Yes, sir.
Good keeps on trucking. I actually liked Rashad Penny, too. Like, he didn't get opportunity. He should have won the job over Chris Carson, but apparently Chris Carson is actually decent.
And they run the ball a lot. They do run the ball a lot. So they do need multiple running backs in Seattle.
Yeah, it turns out they got three of them.
Royce Freeman just didn't get the opportunities.
Right. But when he did, I mean, 5 yards a clip, he had 400 yards in super limited action. So I had to give him a C+. I still think he's the future of the Seahawks at running back.
But he was weird. It wasn't like it was limited action all season. Like, he actually had a game where he went off. Like, that's the upside. That is the upside of Rashad Penny. It wasn't 400 yards over 16 games. I know he played 16 games. But, like, he got most of them. When he got the opportunity, he was successful. I actually like Rashad Penny. I actually gave him a C rather than throwing a D on him like I did with Royce Freeman. That's where I would have had Josh Adams. Rashad Penny, I thought, was very strong in his opportunities.
I bet you would have liked to throw in some D at some Chubb.
Yeah.
But you gave him... You gave it an A anyway.
Just throwing the D around tonight.
Oh, yeah. You got to throw the D in some Chubb here.
You might want to change, like, Saquon's Barkley to just elite. It's not an A+. It's just an elite grade.
Arms with the deflection.
We gave... He tipped that conversation right out of here.
We just got Mutombo'd, fellas. No.
I do tend to agree with you about Rashad Penny, though. If he somehow wrangles that job away full-time next year, I think he's got a lot of potential to be a very successful NFL running back.
To me, 1,000-yard back in his future. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe Rashad Penny is 1,000-yard back, possibly near future, at least by year three.
I mean, we've seen before Seattle just, like, brush running backs to the wayside. They're like, we don't need you. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just go. Bye.
But then again, when they get one, they're typically good. Sean Alexander.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, when they settle on running back, that squad's very good.
They will run them to death.
They will.
And that's great for fantasy purposes. That's
great for Rashad Penny.
I got a C+ on Nyheim Hines. I thought Nyheim Hines, 63 balls caught. 4, 25, and 2.
Dang.
Yeah, he got. I mean, that's pretty good for a mid-round guy.
If,
like,
we're
that's
talking
a,
actual PPR, yes, but if it's non-PPR, Nyheim Hines is kind of an afterthought.
No, he's nothing.
2017 Duke Johnson is who Nyheim Hines is.
Right, but who doesn't play PPR? And if you don't play PPR, like, what are you doing?
I'm just saying, Nyheim Hines, as many balls as he caught, did he really do a lot with it? I mean,
he moved the chains. And the Colts are in the playoffs.
With Marlon Mack not playing most of the season. I mean, there's a lot of negative that I have for Nyheim Hines that you had opportunities. Why didn't you run away with it?
I just think they had to be happy with what they got. Like,
they love the rotation.
We nailed this.
But I'm giving the, like, C-, D+. I mean, that's where I'm giving him, because I don't have any faith in Nyheim Hines being relevant next year.
Gotcha. Last guy for me, Ito Smith, kind of came out of nowhere. D+ for me. He didn't really average at 3.5 a game. Not that impressive,
well,
but
he was a draft diamonds guy you guys talked about last year.
He was, yeah. He was a guy that nobody expected anything out of, and lo and behold, he becomes the Falcons' second running back for the season. So, and did a respectable job. That's why D+. You still pass. It was respectable.
Incomplete. I mean,
he's
not,
fill
not
in,
to
he's
me
gonna
just
fill
not,
in that Tevin Coleman spot. Perfect.
Just not enough work for me to appreciate what he did. I mean, honestly, that's where it comes from. And Devontae Freeman coming back next year, he's taking that job right back.
If he can stay healthy. I personally think he's done. All right, let's move on to some wide receivers. I'll start us out like I have been. A for Calvin Ridley. The only wide receiver that nabbed an A from me. And I know he was inconsistent, very up and down, but when we think about rookies at the position, running backs can be successful. Wide receivers, it takes a little bit more. Like, you've got to have the right situation. And Calvin Ridley put up 64 receptions for 621 and 10 touchdowns on a team with Julio Jones. And I know that can
help
him.
Julio Jones had almost 1,700 yards this year.
And I know that can help free Ridley up, but the fact that Ridley claimed the number two job for the majority of the season... Yeah. All right, that's an A to me. I mean, he is a stud in the making. 10 touchdowns your rookie season, that's solid.
So, to go back a year or two, Juju, 58 receptions, 917 yards, and 7 touchdowns. you've got what Ridley did, 64 receptions, 821 yards, and 10 touchdowns. I mean, very similar trajectory, a stud receiver and a solid quarterback. I firmly believe Calvin Ridley's going to have a Juju-like season next year.
I think he can.
See, I'm not on the same boat. Like, he had those big games. You take those big games away, and he's somewhere around 400 yards. Like, I get it. They were big games. But, like, he was so inconsistent, so very DeSean Jackson-ish. Like, I think that might be his career. It's just a long – he's a hit-or-miss guy, can approach 1,000 yards, but it's going to be over four big games getting him 500 of the yards, 600 of the yards, and then duds the rest of the season. To me, Calvin Ridley, I'm not going to go above B. I'm not going over B on any of these guys, really. Wide receiver is pretty disappointing. But good year, yes, but he just didn't show the consistency that I like in wide receivers.
Calvin Ridley's a guy that's going to be able to get open his whole career. He's not a deep shot kind of guy like DeSean Jackson to me. I think Calvin Ridley's got all the potential in the world to be that 100-reception guy.
I agree.
Very Golden Tate-like, just with a few more touchdowns. He's got the potential.
He definitely had the best year of rookie wide receivers.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But it's easy to catch touchdowns when Julio's not getting any.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be the red zone target. Right. So, I mean, Vern Troyer would be the red zone target on that team if it was just him and Julio. So.
Isn't he dead?
Rest in peace.
You talk about a lot of random pop culture dead people.
That's part of the show.
Okay.
I mean, I like dead people and I like pop culture. You know, I liked your foot a little bit ago. It was nice and dead. I rubbed on it.
such a dick.
You'd say you felt that. You could probably do that whole show long. And...
I have been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never stopped. I mean, why do you think you got so uncomfortable when we talked about moving on? B-plus guy for me, Cortland Sutton. I think he would have been an A if he would have seized the opportunity once they traded Demaryius Thomas. He half seized the opportunity. He kind of, a little half seasoning on that steak. Not a full seasoning on it.
Just one side of it.
One side of it. But listen, here's the big difference between him and Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, 12.8 a reception. Cortland Sutton led the class 16.6 with the most yards, the most receptions over 20 yards with 16. So Cortland Sutton caught 42 balls, which I think is pretty successful for a rookie, for a lot of yards, a lot of long plays, and a handful of touchdowns. He only had four, but Cortland Sutton just shows that elite upside to me.
Right up until the trading deadline, he was the number three receiver on the team.
Right.
With Case freaking Keenum as his quarterback.
Case Keenum.
Like, I love his upside for next year. I'm giving him a B+. I think that he has every bit of the potential that, you know, I don't think he's as good of a player personally as Calvin Ridley, but he has every bit of the fantasy potential that Calvin Ridley has, based primarily on the fact that he's going to be the main benefactor of the offense going to run through him.
It's a talent Ridley's over more opportunity argument.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got all the opportunity.
Correct.
Not that he's not talented, but I don't think he's as talented as Ridley, but he's just got a better opportunity.
He's got more upside, in my opinion. I mean, he could be that next big, tall.
He could be Demaryius Thomas all over again.
He could.
I mean, same team. Demaryius Thomas was basically 1,300 yards and double-digit touchdowns for 5 or 6 years. I mean, I could see that out of Calvin Ridley.
Yes.
Cortland Sutton.
Get the man a quarterback.
Yeah, I had him as a B. I had him equally as successful as Calvin Ridley because his body of work was also late in the season where Calvin Ridley was spread out in big spurts here and there. To me, Cortland Sutton was more consistent than Calvin Ridley once given the opportunity. The guy, he's my pickup next year. Like, if we're talking drafting your team next year, he is a wide receiver 3 easy with wide receiver. Can we say 1?
He's got wide receiver 1 upside, and I'm actually taking his wide receiver 2.
Yeah, I mean, you can float. Like, if you get him as a wide receiver 3, you're doing really well in deeper leagues. But, man, I loved what he put on tape late in the season as the go-to guy. Like, he wasn't just out there with Case Keenum going through reads. Like, he was actually looking for Cortland Sutton consistently when he was in trouble. And he's a big body. He gives you the red zone presence.
He wasn't just submitting that this is Emmanuel Sanders' team.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm the man. I'm Demaryius's replacement, not Emmanuel Sanders. Go through me first.
And he proved he could do that.
He did. Next on the list for me, I got DJ Moore with a B. Now, you could look at this stat line and be like, he didn't really get in the end zone. There was no big flashy plays. But listen, 55 receptions for 788 yards, and most of that damage was done when Greg Olsen was out of the lineup. Greg Olsen possibly retiring. I know Ian Thomas looked decent, but DJ Moore could be that new, you know, PPR guy for Carolina.
I'm still reserved on DJ Moore. I had him as a C. Again, he was the top drafted wide receiver, right? He was drafted above Calvin Ridley or right there. I mean, they're back to back or something like that. I mean, DJ Moore to me didn't do as much with opportunity. Like he had all the opportunity there. He didn't have a major number one. He could have walked in as the guy. He had Devin Funchess in front of him, and he puts up 55, 800, solid. Solid, but I'm going to go B minus on him. I'm not buying him either as a playmaker. Like you said, only two touchdowns, nothing flashy. To me, he's just a guy who can catch first downs here and there.
I'm excited to see what he can do next year. Seemed like this year, Carolina rolled out a lot of two tight end sets with Funchess and Olsen. But once Olsen was out, it seemed like he did come on. So again, yeah, I wouldn't grade him as high as some of those other guys, but
he's the best wide receiver on his team, though, is what you're saying, with tight end moving to
second. Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel. Trooper over here. He's the one catching all electric. DJ Moore's touchdowns.
But I'm giving him like a C+, because
I wouldn't be minus.
Some consistency. You know, he caught some balls from a light passing game, but I just don't think it's going to get any better. I think this is about what we can expect out of him.
Bang,
Do I expect more than two touchdowns? Sure, give him six.
But I still expect somewhere around 60 catches and 800 yards.
Still a wide receiver three. I'm targeting him as like a wide receiver four. He's my competitive depth guy.
Yeah, competitive depth. He has no upside. To me, he just has no upside. I know we're not ranking him by that, but to me, he's scary on the upside. He's not a red zone presence, and that's why he only caught two.
Or speaking of upside, I've got a B- grade on Antonio Callaway.
Love it.
B-. 43 receptions for 586 yards and five touchdowns. Showed some elite possibilities, but also showed those Njoku dropsies.
Yeah, to me, the inconsistency just catching the football seems to be Antonio Callaway's Achilles heel. I mean, he has the talent to get open, consistently open, and Baker Mayfield delivered the football. He just dropped it. He didn't make tough catches, I guess. I know there were drops, but also when watching him, whenever there was a tough catch, he didn't come down with it. Doesn't necessarily drop. I mean, it was a tough catch, but he doesn't. He only catches the ball in space. It's never goes into a tight window.
It's not a mental
thing. Njoku needs to give up some space on that jugs machine.
Yeah.
Let Callaway have a turn.
He could. But to me, Antonio Callaway doesn't have that go up and get it. Those Adam Thielen hands, catch it in traffic, strong hands. To me, he's just more of a get the ball to him within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, see what he can do with it, even though he has downfield capability.
I'm giving him about a C. I mean, I know his first few games he had Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball. I get that, and that's just a bad situation to be in. And then he has a rookie quarterback, but that rookie quarterback threw 27 touchdowns. And, I mean,
he had
five. Great. Good on him. But just the inconsistency is maddening for me. I watched him have one hit both of his hands. Both of his feet stayed in, and he just doesn't catch it in the back of the end zone. I saw that too many times for Callaway to really, really like what he's putting on tape. He's like a wide receiver 4 or 5 for me.
I have a surprising last entry in the B category.
All right.
B-. Robert Foster. I waited too long. I paused way too long because I was like, do I lead with the stats? Do I lead with Robert Foster?
I have Robert Foster as a B- as well.
Listen, he didn't get an opportunity until really way late. And what he did was 541 yards and three touchdowns that late. dude, the guy was a playoff messiah at your flex position. Like, Robert Foster could safely be played the last 3 to 4 games of the season, and it looks like he's going to be the guy for Josh Allen, and that rapport could be gold in the future.
Absolutely. I like him more than DJ Moore.
That's big words, but I can't disagree. Robert Foster looked really good.
He's in the three wide receiver 3-4 category.
The thing that
good at the end, real good at the end. Just how do you not wrangle that job away from who was there?
But
because he was such a late, you know how teams are. He was not a high draft pick. He didn't.
But everyone is garbage above him.
Yeah,
like, and they still have Zay Jones. I mean,
man, the thing that pops off the page for Robert Foster is the 20 yards per catch. I mean, you're averaging 20 a catch in the NFL your rookie season. That's huge. And Josh Allen's better at the deep ball. He throws a prettier deep ball than he is consistent within the medium passing game. Robert Foster proved that he could be that downfield threat and be a big target for Josh Allen. Like, I agree with you when you say slightly ahead of DJ Moore in 2019 drafts. Like, the guy is really good, and the road in front of him's paved. He just has to walk it. There's no one standing in his way there.
I agree. I think he's going to be quite a player to pick up on. And I did say Cortland Sutton paced all rookie receivers with 16.8 a catch, kind of basing that off 30 catches or more. So if you look at 27 receptions for Foster and you want to crown him for the 20 yards.
It does pop, though.
It does pop. I considered, lumping him in.
I think he's got
guy.
A bright future. I think another name I know you're going to leave out, Dante Pettis, I think also has a bright future.
C-plus for me. I agree, though.
But you get a more competent quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo back next year with Dante Pettis. I think he's going to have some upside.
Let's knock some of these out all at once. I've got Christian Kirk as a C. I have Marquez Valdes-Scantling as a C.
Oof.
So let's touch on those two first. Are either of those guys a C for you? I mean, I think both of them look good at times, good enough to be that C. Like, I want them on my taxi squad, but I'm not sure about
keeping them. Both of them would have been a B at certain times in the season. And then it just, where did you go?
Scantling for where?
Marquez.
Yeah. For where they got him and what you could expect out of him, I think he had a successful rookie campaign. But the way he fell off, he is kind of opposite of the other guys. He was good in the early to mid goings and then just disappeared completely from that offense. And that's scary to me that defense has figured out what he does, and that's just run downfield.
And he gets his Robbie Anderson numbers, like three catches for 115 yards. Like.
Yeah. You can't base the consistency there. To me, I gotta say,
you should trade him to me.
Yeah.
To me, I say D.
He was untouchable for Lambert.
Oh yeah, that was on the Lambert's untouchable list. Oh, Marquez.
I'll tear him up. Oh, D.
Randall Cobb.
You fell
out.
You're,
dang.
He might be untouchable.
He just D'd him. What about Christian Kirk? Had him as a C. Thought he looked, really good in certain games, but the consistency wasn't there.
That's a fair grade, I think.
I thought more. I'll go D on there. To me, it's D disappointing.
Oh my.
I just don't. The scary thing about Christian Kirk is whether they've got Larry Fitzgerald or not, their quarterback is still garbage.
Truth. Only other guy that I considered giving a C, but I got a D-plus on Michael Gallup.
I don't even know how you give him that.
Hey, 33 receptions right. for 507. I mean, he had moments that looked like he could be a decent receiver.
He was the man at the beginning of the season and did nothing with it.
Oh, we knew that.
Nothing.
That job over.
Right. But late in the season, like some rookies do, he had his moments. I mean, I think he could still be a good number two to that
from
team.
Cooper coming to Dallas.
Yep. He proved he's nothing more than a two.
Yes, he did.
He needed Amari Cooper. He needed a running mate to get open. He needed that secondary coverage.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to change either. I don't see him.
I would like to see it because I'm a huge Michael Gallup fan. But
I just don't see him being a very
a trade to the Raiders.
Doubt it. We trade way talent. We don't trade four talent.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's true.
Where'd you have Anthony Miller at?
Anthony Miller, okay, he was another one. I have him as a C, just an even C. He kind of disappointed me. I thought he would be kind of huge out of this class. And he caught 7 touchdowns. I mean, he had some moments, and he looks like he's got a bright future. But the season overall was kind of disappointing
to me.
A-Rob
had you know, it was kind of down for A-Rob. So yeah. I expected Anthony Miller to do better with the opportunity that he had.
And frankly, they just got away from the passing game late in the season because they were just dominating teams defensively. That they just ran the ball and protected Mitchell Trubisky. So I think more than anything, Anthony Miller just needs a little bit more, not a system change. They're just going to start to trust Mitchell Trubisky more. And that's when Anthony Miller is going to come on and can really be a factor next year. Like, I still believe in Anthony Miller over, frankly, over Michael Gallup, over Robert Foster and Christian Kirk. So I like Anthony Miller down the road.
I've got a player who caught 16 balls, who I'm probably taking over just about all those guys.
Who's that?
James Washington.
Washington, it's been too long.
AB's not going anywhere.
If AB is out of Pittsburgh, which he's disgruntled. And
I get it, but he's not going
if
anywhere.
If he's leaving Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but he's not holding out.
He's basically saying, I don't want to play for him anymore. Yeah. I mean, I think Antonio Brown is out. Pittsburgh doesn't put up with it from wide receivers. They just don't. They never have.
And they're a smart team. They know what they've got behind them, and they know they can make it work. And if Ben leaves, why worry about keeping Antonio?
Look at the progression they had. They Flacco Burris, all right, we'll let him walk. The Emmanuel Sanders, we'll let him walk. Everybody, every number two type guy they've let walk, usually because they had Hines Ward. But now they've got a guy who's really just as good as Antonio Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster is just as good as Antonio Brown.
Oof.
But does is his success tied to AB being there?
Yep.
No, he's a number one quality receiver, and James Washington is going to step right in and fill that number two role. Is he going to put up Juju numbers? I say it'll be close.
I would love to have Juju on my team, but saying he's anywhere near as talented as AB, I can't agree with that.
Antonio Brown has a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing him the ball, and he has his entire career.
I agree with Lambert. is trapped in there. I had to let it out.
I think Antonio Brown's a really a top 5, 6, 7 receiver, but Juju's never got that. I'm the number one guy.
He's finished top three every year for the past 4 years.
Did he finish top three this year?
Maybe.
Who?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Did who finish top?
Antonio Brown.
Oh yeah.
Dude,
he was up there.
Tops.
Yeah. Davante Adams was right ahead of him in some formats.
He's five. Okay.
Okay. So you got me. My point is, where's Juju?
But points per
where's
game.
Where's Juju?
Points
just
per
answer
game,
my question.
AB's number two.
Where's Juju?
Juju points per game. He was ninth.
Top 10 receiver. That's pretty damn close.
Things getting violent.
All I'm saying is, give him the opportunities that Antonio Brown gets.
To get double covered.
Saucy.
I'll take it.
Juju's bad. I love Juju. I want Juju on every team I have.
I just think James Washington's going to be a great benefactor as the number two in Pittsburgh next year.
I like it. I'm sold on that. I'm not sold on him getting rid of AB, regardless of the disgruntled practice incident.
Kiki Kuti and Deshaun Hamilton. How'd you feel about him?
Would they just get healthy? Would Kiki just get healthy? When he's in there, they run plays through him.
Kiki healthy, stud. Kiki not healthy, irrelevant.
I still go back to they had plays for him, little jet sweeps and things like that. Like when he was on the field without Demaryius and without Will Fuller. Like, they ran plays for him. Like, to me, he can be a playmaker. He's got to watch, but not super high on Kiki Kuti because a hamstring limited him for 14 games out last year. Just a health issue.
Deshaun caught 30 balls once they called him up to the lineup. I mean, he could be a PPR guy. If Emmanuel Sanders ends up being the next guy to leave, I'm completely happy owning Cortland and Deshaun.
But, man, if you had Deshaun Hamilton, you expect him to get, you know, 12, 13 yards a catch, not 8. Like, I like him as being a PPR guy because I think he's going to get volume when Sanders is gone. But, man, you just hope he does more with it than 8 yards a pop.
Anyone else, fellas? I got DJ Chark at a D-. I got Traquan Smith at a D+.
I agree. Those guys still yet to be determined. I mean, they so are. Far away. I really like both of them, though. Like, their upside. I like Traquan more, but DJ Chark just has the situation.
He could have.
Outside
he could
the
court.
He got bortled.
He could have. He did, but he could have rose up above. I mean, Keelan Cole was on the bench for most of the season. I mean, there was really no. What's that guy you love? Dante Moncrief, like, had a few flashes. Like, if DJ Chark was good, he should have easily been in that starting lineup.
I agree. Give me some DJ next year.
Get a quarterback, and we'll see what these receivers are in Jacksonville.
Yes, we do.
It's as simple as that.
Any other wide receivers you want to grade or discuss before we move on to the black hole that is rookie tight ends?
Not really. I mean, you could mention Equanimeous St. Brown, D, because, you know, a lot of us real high on him thought he was going to be a little bit better than he was. But
had moments.
He was also a seventh-round pick.
Jamon Moore was trash.
Oh. He was the guy
trash.
To own in Green Bay.
He was trash.
All right, on to the tight ends.
I'm not going to let y'all sit here and trash on Jamon. Jamon's my boy. All right, go to the tight ends. Get
all it. Right, the only – no, I take that back. I have two, actually, that graded out at an A for me.
Because, A?
At an A.
You get an A to
I got
a tight end.
I got an A.
It's got to be real Disley.
A grade on two people. And I'm talking about –
after week
what
one,
their 2018
Did you say
season,
generous, very generous grading
I think
system.
An A for any of the tight ends in this year's draft class, pretty generous.
Barker's like a kindergarten teacher.
Listen,
nice
here's
job.
Your sticker.
You wrote your name good,
because I've never seen a blue duck.
And you showed up every practice and tried your bestest.
I gave two guys gold stars. Okay,
all right.
I gave two guys some gold star stickers and extra lunch money. Listen, it's very well documented that, like, the black hole
of fantasy
is rookie tight ends. They just don't do well. There's exceptions to the rule, but they're few and far between. Chris Herndon came out of nowhere. Nobody was talking about, like, man, I need to acquire a second. I really need Chris Herndon on my team. That didn't happen. I need a fourth so I can stash Chris Herndon on my taxi in case he's the guy by default, which he kind of was, but he was also the best rookie tight end this season. He had 39 receptions for 502 and 4. That's decent tight end numbers. He was a fantasy tight end. He was a decent fantasy tight end for stretches during the season. To me, for what they paid for him and what they got, I absolutely think Chris Herndon is an A, and the other guy was Dallas Goedert because... Four touchdowns.
Really?
With Zach Ertz.
A?
With Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert was a decent tight end. And you could have streamed him at times this season. I think future-wise, and I didn't give them A's based on projections. I gave them A's because they could be played this year, and no one thought they could.
You're just going to leave out Mark Andrews at 16.2 yards a catch and 552 yards with 3 touchdowns?
He's a B-plus for me.
He's the best tight end in this year's draft class.
I take Andrews over.
Like, I would rather have him than – I will say I think Goddard's a more talented tight end than Mark Andrews. But Mark Andrews is got the best upside out of any of these guys right now based on situation.
I agree. I actually had some numbers circled. He had the second most 20-plus catch, 20-plus long pass receptions, and he had 2 over 40, whereas no one else besides Will Disley had even one.
And that was all week one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I like Mark Andrews, too. I just like what Goddard and Herndon did.
Mark Andrews put up Cortland Sutton-like yards per catch.
He did.
He did.
He's a stud. I mean, he owned it like over Hayden Hurst, who had a disappointing rookie season. Yeah, Mark Andrews proved that he can be the number one guy there. And, you know, long term, I like him. Quarterback, God.
Lamar Jackson?
I mean, he's going to lean on the tight end quite a bit going forward.
The argument against Andrews, the biggest argument against him is how often is Lamar Jackson going to actually throw at the ball?
And when Hayden Hurst is healthy, are they going to try to force that first-round pedigree?
No. They found their tight end. His name is Mark Andrews.
Preach.
He's the new Max Williams.
He's the new Todd Heap.
He's the new Crockett Gilmore.
Right.
Okay. So
I do like Goddard, but I mean,
Zach Ertz is there.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is there.
Right. Goddard's talented as all get out.
The only thing about Goddard and Ertz is do you wonder when the next contract comes up, do they just let Ertz walk?
No.
I can't see that happening. I just can't. But no. Do they try to trade him? Or do they run two tight ends? There's a lot of talented mouths to feed in Philadelphia in the receiving core. Between the tight ends and the wide receivers, there's a lot of – I mean, when your fifth option is Nelson Agholor, you're doing well.
Yeah.
Talented. Now, again, I was grading – last time I defend myself, I was grading based on what they did when given the opportunity.
A freaking A.
Yep. The next guy was Mark Andrews. The only other guy that I had anywhere close to Mark Andrews, and it wasn't really close, was Ian Thomas. When he did have to play for Olsen, he was okay. I put a C on him because he was okay.
You don't like Mike Gesicki?
F. Absolute freaking
F. He was an F for
F.
you. But I think he's got a bright future, and
I still want to try to acquire him. But he's an F.
He's going to be. I firmly believe he's going to approach top 10 tight end territory next year.
Disappointing.
I'm not sure about that after the season, but like I still have faith.
Who's got to unseat Austin Hooper? Yeah, he's going to approach top 10.
I don't know. He was awfully bad. Gesicki was awfully bad.
I think I want Hooper over Gesicki.
Yeah, Ian Thomas.
Anybody
note,
but
though,
Hooper.
Ian Thomas is probably the guy in Carolina. I mean,
Olsen's walking. I mean, he should be gone.
Olsen's
that commentator
probably,
job comes up.
Yeah,
Olsen
should go to one of us, but it's going to Greg Olsen.
It's got to be better than
Ian Thomas. Actually, had the second most receptions for rookie tight ends.
Of
course he did.
Why, Ian Thomas?
And you threw him
Rob Thomas's brother.
You just threw him in the gutter. Trash. Called him an F.
Who?
You?
Ian Thomas?
Ian Thomas
was like, I love me some Ian Thomas. He's your biscuits Rock and gravy at tight end. Yeah.
All right.
Mike Gesicki has humongous hands. I'll just throw that out there.
Yep. And better to F with, I guess. I don't know. He got an F from me.
So.
Oh, gosh.
Hayden Hurst F, Gesicki F.
Will
Jordan Thomas and Jordan Akins were solid D pluses. They had their moments.
Will
D
Disley
pluses,
is an F. He's an
what?
F. Will Disley is an F plus.
Why?
Because he
for
gave you
injured?
What a game and a half, and you went and spent your whole damn free agent budget to get him, and you're like, yes, and he's gone.
I'm happy to have him on my injured reserve right now.
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'll take Mike Gesicki.
I mean, it's tight end landscape. I will take a flyer on Will Disley.
I paid up for him in one of my leagues. It was a takeover. And I'm like, I just need a tight end. Just any. Oh, Will Disley, pay up. And he's gone.
So much promise for the old Copperbeards this season.
That wasn't the team I needed tight end on.
Oh, okay.
I had two top three tight ends.
Kittle and Kelsey. Okay, my bad. Yeah. I forget that people let you in more leagues than just ours.
Oh, they need my money.
They must.
It's like, hey, $50 just leave.
I mean, it's
heck
a safe
yeah,
bet
boy.
They're going to get your money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Says the guy that didn't win a title this year, too. Ah, that was the tight ends, folks. That was the tight ends.
That was tough.
Unless you want to talk about Dalton Schultz for the next half hour.
No.
That was the tight ends. Most exciting way to end a show ever. Tight ends.
As we're
done. Rookies at that.
I'm deflated.
Almost every game during the season, we're like, hey, and the tight end landscape is atrocious, and we just preached that to death. If you have made it this far, thank you.
Yeah, the 2018 rookie draft class and tight ends led us to believe it's going to continue to be garbage.
Talia. Every time we want to say that, we say Talia. Tight end landscape is atrocious.
All right.
Talia.
It's Talia.
Instead of wasting all these words, be like, you know, Kelsey had a good week, and surprisingly, Dallas Goddard was playable because of Talia.
I'm with it. Hashtag Talia.
Hashtag Talia. Tight end landscape is atrocious.
Talia.
It's
catchy.
I'm naming my next child Talia. Thank God
I got
fixed.
Can we go with awful? Awful?
I like atrocious.
Talia works either way. Atrocious or awful.
Hashtag
asinine.
Can we get stickers out for everyone who's made it this far into this episode?
Hashtag Talia.
Hashtag Talia.
Yeah, I like it.
Just shoot us a message. We'll see what we can do.
I guarantee if we get on XNXX right now and type in Talia, we'll see something cool. Thanks, folks. Barks out.
Good night.
See ya.
Peace.
Peace.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every E in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.